This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, January 28th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, and we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. A dozen Central Illinois families still have the task of preparing their children to take the stand in court against one of their former teachers. The children, who range in age from 8 to 14, are expected to be key witnesses in the trial of 27-year-old John White on charges that he molested 9 girls at Urbana's Thomas Paine Elementary School and 2 girls at Colleen Hoos Elementary School in Normal. The Champaign County case opens February 25th in Decatur, where the trial was moved because of extensive news coverage in the Bloomington, Normal, and Champaign-Urbana areas. A Champaign County judge says it would be a waste of time to have started jury selection only to find that an impartial jury couldn't be found in the county. White faces numerous charges, including 13 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. Before Illinois builds new roads, bridges, and schools, some say the state first has to shore up its political integrity. Amanda Vinicky reports.
Plans for a major statewide infrastructure and construction program are currently stalled, but lawmakers continue to say they'll work to pass one. Illinois Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn says they have to pass something else first. Ethics legislation that would forbid elected officials from awarding state contracts to people or companies that donated to their campaigns.
We can't be giving out highway contracts and then having the governor the next day say, hey, how about contributing to my fundraiser? That's trouble with a capital T.
The Illinois House passed a measure that would forbid Illinois' top elected officials from soliciting campaign cash from those with contracts, but the Senate has held off on taking up the matter. A spokesperson for the Senate president says that chamber is in the process of crafting a tougher proposal, which would also put the same restrictions on state representatives and senators. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Cook County Clerk David Orr says young people are showing an unprecedented interest in this year's primary election. Orr says a record number of high school students in suburban Cook County, more than 800, have volunteered to be judges on February 5th, and a record 500 college students have volunteered to be equipment managers at polling places. He says young people's familiarity with computers will be an important asset as Cook County uses touchscreens and optical screen paper ballots rather than punch cards. Students also make up 19% of the absentee ballot applicants so far, compared with 8% in 2004 and 2006. Officials attribute the increase to changes in the motor voter law and interest in the presidential race. Billboards are a big business across Illinois' landscape. One lawmaker says the state should cash in on a new type of highway advertising. Jenna Dooley has more.
Representative Jim Sasha, a Republican from Pecatonica, has an idea to bail the state out of its financial issues. He wants to sell space on the state's overpasses to advertisers. He says the idea is still in the early stages, including how much it would cost and what the signs would look like. Sasha says he expects to hear critics who will say the signs will distract drivers.
Not a good argument. Not as long as you allow gasoline to be advertised and you drive under an underpass and you're looking right up at a Wendy's or a McDonald's or anything else. You know, it's simply reality. It's what's in your driving view.
Sasha says this is an innovative way to help the state pay its bills. Lawmakers may look at the plan when they return to Springfield next month. I'm Jenna Dooley.
A new state scholarship program aims to benefit the children of fallen service members. Illinois State Treasurer Alexi Janulius and Veterans Affairs Director Tammy Duckworth announced the Fallen Heroes Scholarship on Sunday. Under the program, the state will deposit $2,500 into a tax-free Bright Start College savings account for each eligible child. Janulius says Oppenheimer Funds is paying the scholarships and is setting aside $500,000 a year for similar programs. Officials say about 150 state service members have died since 2001, and 65 of their children are eligible. 15 students had signed up by Sunday. Indiana State University says 3 floors of a dormitory were damaged in a fire on the Terre Haute School's campus. The fire broke out last night on the 11th floor of Bloomberg Hall and took about an hour to extinguish. 4 people were treated for inhaling smoke. A student resident assistant, Senior Michael Glazer of Climax, Michigan, was treated for smoke inhalation after trying to extinguish the blaze. Two public safety officers were also treated at the scene for smoke inhalation, and a female student was treated after suffering an asthma attack. The 12-story structure houses approximately 420 freshman students. Clark County Coroner Greg Hosh says a weekend autopsy has revealed that a man found dead in a dumpster in Marshall was killed by a stab wound to the chest. The body was found by trash haulers Friday morning outside an apartment complex, and Hosh revealed the autopsy results last night. Illinois State Police say the dead man appeared to be Hispanic and in his mid-20s. They say he was 5'4" to 5'6" in height, had short dark hair and a short goatee. A storefront church on Chicago's west side that openly harbored an undocumented Mexican mother is taking on another sanctuary case. Chip Mitchell has the story.
Elvira Arellano and her U.S.-born son lived in Adalberto United Methodist Church for a year in defiance of a deportation order. 2 days after she left the church last August, authorities arrested her and sent her back to Mexico. Now 28-year-old Flor Crisóstomo has moved in.
A nosotros no nos dejaron más opciones.
Crisóstomo says she had no choice but to leave her three children with her mother and head for the United States to support them. In Chicago, she used false papers to get a job in a pallet factory. Immigration authorities raided the factory in 2006. Her legal appeal's exhausted. Crisóstomo is due to surrender for deportation this week. Adalberto's pastor, Reverend Walter Coleman, says the church is taking her in because lawmakers have abandoned efforts to legalize the status of undocumented immigrants.
We're calling for sanctuaries to open up throughout the country so that the voice of reality can be heard.
About a half dozen U.S. religious groups in recent months have harbored immigrants wanted by the authorities. An immigration spokeswoman who declined to speak on tape said her agency has had other enforcement priorities. But that's not good enough for Ira Melman, spokesman of the Federation for American Immigration Reform.
The people they need to be going after are the people who are leading the so-called sanctuary movement. These church officials who are engaged in civil disobedience need to be put to the test.
Whatever the consequences for Reverend Coleman, he says he's just following the will of God. In Humboldt Park, I'm Chip Mitchell.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Some say that these bad times in certain real estate markets have led to an increase in lawsuits regarding real estate. Commentator Amy Guida provides some anecdotal evidence in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
This is clearly not the best time for most real estate agents and others in the real estate business. First, there's the problem of not seeing enough clients, with sales of existing homes now at a 25-year low. Then there's the problem of seeing clients too often, after a deal has closed, in court. It seems that homeowners in once hot markets, like certain areas in California, are turning to lawyers after finding that their house is worth less than they'd paid for it just a few months ago. The New York Times published an article last week, for example, headlined, "Feeling Misled on Home Price, Buyers Sue Agent." The buyers, the article reported, claimed that the agent misled them on the value of the house in order to close the deal. The agent denies any wrongdoing, and it'll be up to the court to sort it all out. The Times reported that this was an unusual lawsuit and suggested the desperate economic times were behind this sue the real estate professional trend. Even though there are a number of cases out there in past years regarding matters like defects that hadn't been revealed to buyers and that sort of thing, there does seem to be more reported cases more recently, and it's not just the agent who's sued. Many of the cases, perhaps not surprisingly, come from California, where housing prices make the stakes higher. I pulled several recent cases at random, most from the past year. Buyers sued sellers for not revealing things about the property. They sued realtors, home inspectors, and appraisers, alleging various misdeeds, not always successfully. And real estate agents themselves have gotten into the court action, too, suing, for example, when home sellers refuse a full price offer. One successfully sued a seller who suddenly decided not to go through with the sale, apparently because of some family problems. Those are the recent cases that seemingly help to support the notion that more are heading to court these days. But remember the new case from California, the one where the owners have sued the real estate agent for allegedly hiding the true value of the property just to close the deal? In 1938, also a period of no little economic upheaval, a buyer sued her real estate agent for misleading her on the price of a certain property she'd purchased. The California Supreme Court decided back then that the buyer had placed herself in her agent's hands and had depended on his honesty and good judgment to guide her. Because the court found that he'd intentionally given her false information regarding the value of the property, among other things, the agent had to pay her the difference. A lot of things within real estate have changed since then, of course. We now have agents who represent buyers only, to name only one. But it's clear that one thing remains the same. When the economy heads south, losses for real estate professionals sometimes lead to new business for lawyers. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for the region, a wind advisory is in effect until 9 this evening. Otherwise, we have intervals of clouds and sunshine, very windy conditions, unseasonably mild with a chance of passing showers during the afternoon, the high 55 degrees. Winds from the south, 20 to 35 miles per hour, some gusts over 45 miles per hour. Cloudy, very windy tonight, occasional showers expected, the low 45 degrees, with the winds from the south at 20 to 35 miles per hour, some gusts up to 45. Cloudy skies tomorrow, periods of rain and perhaps a passing thunderstorm, turning much colder, very windy during the afternoon. The midday high 52, temperatures falling to the 30s during the afternoon, with winds from the southwest up to 25 miles per hour during the morning, and from the west at 20 to 30 miles per hour, gusts over 40 during the afternoon. Cloudy skies tomorrow evening, windy, cold, some snow showers during the evening hours, clearing after midnight, the low getting down to 10 degrees, and Wednesday mostly sunny skies with a high of 29. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, January 28th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.